As members of one body, we're all connected by the heart through a common blood. And this is how it should be. You know, when one of us is hurting, we feel it. When one of us is threatened, we respond. We're bound by the heart. And we're also bound to Christ's suffering on the cross. Sing with us number 411 in the blue hymnal. Number 411.
Focus is on supporting documented people. Stories, prayers, commitments leading to action. What is the calling for us as we stand with one another, our neighbors far away, our friends, strangers close at hand? Today we host two people in the chapel, Alicia Horst, Executive Director of New Bridges Immigrant Resource Center here in Harrisonburg, and Katie Gode-Lopez. New Bridges Immigrant Resource Center started in 2000 when a group of local Mennonite churches recognized a demographic change here in the Shenandoah Valley. In an effort to support newcomers, the board chose to focus its mission on human services. And hear this vision for the organization that Alicia leads. Through extensive training and experience in the particular dynamics that influence the lives of immigrants and refugees, the agency works diligently to be a leading resource for spiritual, social, economic needs of immigrants in the Shenandoah Valley. Recognizing that our work encompasses more than what a board and three staff members are able to provide, we work to connect people and congregants in building a compassionate, just, culturally diverse community. And Alicia's time with us this morning to give some background information about DACA, the DREAM Act, immigration reform, is doing that last part, empowering the community to be a resource and provide human services and support and advocacy. After Alicia, Katie will come to the podium. And Katie is an elementary education major here at EMU, a senior, this year serving as a community advisor in Park Woods, and last year as a ministry assistant, and she is part of the DACA Conversations Planning Committee. So Alicia, welcome, and then Katie.
Good morning. So I have the easy task of talking about immigration in about 5 minutes. So any of you that are at all familiar with immigration know that that's virtually impossible, and I'm going to be glossing over a lot of things and making things very simplistic. And for that, I apologize, because it's not something that you can easily talk about so quickly. And it's also something that is very connected to human beings. And so I'm trying to take care in how I talk about this, but just realize that this is also an invitation for you to do a lot of exploring. It's an invitation for you to have some conversations with people about what it means to live in the United States. So, New Bridges works partly in immigration law, and we have a law program that is supporting people through different kinds of processes that include DACA. That's one of many different things that people come to New Bridges to talk about and to potentially be able to receive benefits from. DACA is something that is connected to a really long history in the United States of immigration policy that is disjointed. It's hundreds of years of trying to put together something that's convenient for particular people in the United States to make certain things happen for very wealthy people. So that means that when there are particular projects that the United States was working on, or when there were particular infrastructure needs, we brought people in, and then when we didn't want them anymore, we would do certain things. And the law, the body of law of the Immigration and Nationality Act, is a confusing mess because of that. It's not very well organized. It's a body of law that most most attorneys in general don't like to work with because it's very confusing. And so if you take some time to look at the history of immigration in the United States and read about it from the perspective of the people, not as it's written by certain particular interests, you will notice a pattern that develops over time of who's allowed to stay and who's given permission to stay for maybe a certain period of time. Related to DACA, DACA is a program that has been around since an announcement by President Obama in the year 2012. But the background to that is that for many years, there was a piece of legislation called the DREAM Act that people were wanting to get through Congress and was very popular. And it came to a vote in 2010, went through the House, and then when it got to the Senate, it failed by 5 votes. And it was incredibly disheartening for people who had really wanted to have a pathway for persons who had lived in the United States since childhood to be able to find a way to actually receive a pathway to citizenship. The way that our immigration system is set up is that some people are permitted to stay temporarily to work, and some people are allowed a pathway to eventually become citizens through many years and a lot of money. But in this situation, they were specifically looking at children who had entered the United States and either had overstayed a visa or had entered and had not been what's called inspected at the border. They hadn't had an interview with a border agent. And the DREAM Act would have permitted persons that met certain requirements to be able to, over time, gain citizenship. And you had to meet certain very defined parameters to be able to do that. One was that people had to have entered before they were 16 years of age and had to have lived 5 years in the United States consecutively before this piece of legislation would have been enacted. Another is that they had to have completed education or the military. Some people have been able to serve the military without having documents. Another is that people needed to have what's called good moral character. And the way that they would define that is that you wouldn't have committed certain crimes in the United States. And so with this list of requirements, young people would have been able to become citizens. And because that failed in the Senate, President Obama decided to do something that's called an executive order, which is common to other presidents. Other presidents have done that, and other presidents have also done that for immigration. And President Obama in 2012 announced that people would be able to apply for what's called a Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, which we've been calling DACA. And DACA is a program that allows people to work with a two-year work permit. That could be renewed at the time. And some of the same requirements that I just listed out would have been present for the, so it's very similar to in nature to what the DREAM Act was about. The difference is that DACA was a temporary program versus a pathway to citizenship. And so President Obama announced this, and it started in 2012, and just about a month ago. It was announced that this program was rescinded. This program is now no longer something that people can apply to for the first time, and it's also something that some persons who have it, beginning with March 6th on, are not able to continue. They're not able to renew it. So the idea behind this is that if the cancellation will lead to potentially Congress putting some legislation together that would make, once again, the possibility for people to be able to become residents. What that actually also means, though, is that for some people, we are now in a period of time that feels really difficult. It's very painful to not know where you're going to be going in the next few months and years. And it's also something that makes it really complex for people who are studying or working, because that two-year work permit is connected to some other benefits, meaning a driver's license. It means in-state tuition for people that are from Virginia and have lived here a certain amount of time. And so it makes making life for people that are in a certain stage and are building a career really complex. So the invitation for a lot of us that are connected to immigration, but also those of us who care about what it means to live in a just society, is to find out what's going on in Congress at this point related to this, and to become better informed in general about what's going on with our immigration policy. It deeply, deeply affects this community in particular. We have people that are here with lots of different kinds of situations, other persons that are here with work permission under something called a temporary protection status. So there are many layers to this situation, and it's an invitation for all of us to become better informed about how sometimes laws affect the people around us in very profound ways, yeah? So we're going to listen to Story, because I think, it's not just about law, right? It's about how these laws affect our lives. And so pay deep attention. Listen with your heart. This stuff really matters.
First, I would like to say thank you all so much for allowing me to be here today and share my story with all of you. I don't think I can get through this story without having it written down, so I will read from my paper. I was 8 years old when my mom pulled me aside to tell me that Dad would be gone for a while. She said he would be away in vacation, but that we would see him soon. I stopped my mom and asked, "Mom, is Dad going to America?" My mom went silent for a moment. She looked at me, smiled, and nodded. I knew that my life would change from that moment. I could not fathom the scope of what was happening, but I knew that a new chapter would be written in our life stories starting that day. A few months later, my mom, sister, and I found ourselves for the first time on an airplane, coming to the most iconic country I had ever heard of. I was looking forward to coming to what I thought would be New York. People everywhere, different smells, terrible traffic, which was a climate not too far off as that of El Salvador's. We actually came to Virginia. Virginia. Where the streets were clean, you had to drive to get places, and with little variations in smells. I soon found myself back in school. Here I go, I thought. I had never been a huge fan of school prior to having to repeat third grade due to my lack of English. But little did I know that school and education would change my life. In third grade, I had a wonderful ESOL, English as a Second or Other Language teacher. Her name was Miss Madigan. She took me and helped me see the power of education. She made learning fun, gave me interesting books. She fed my curiosity about American culture. But above all, she helped me see that education is more than an individual act. Education is a relationship with yourself, your teachers, and your community. My relationship with Miss Madigan was rooted in trust, love, and encouragement. She had my back at all times. Fifth grade graduation came faster than I could blink. My parents did not come to my graduation because they did not know about it. But Miss Madigan was there, and she said to me words that I will never forget. She said, "You are my star. You are so bright. Come back and visit me." I went on to middle school, and seventh grade was another year that was life-changing. A new program was going to start in our school. It was called AVID. It was a college preparatory class that would set young students on a college path. Before the interest meeting that was held in the library, I had not heard the word college before. This word was the one that stood out from all the words my principal had said during the interest meeting. I remember taking the application home to my mom and telling her to sign it immediately. I explained to her what this program was, and finally she agreed to sign it. I later did an interview and got into the program. I was an AVID from 7th to 12th grade. From there, everything changed. I got the principal's award on my 8th grade graduation. I went from an average student in 9th grade to taking my first AP advanced placement class in 10th grade, and soon I took more and more AP classes after that. I was the first in my family to attend high school in America, the first to have a chance to go to college. I graduated with honors and found myself at EMU. So why am I telling you this? It honestly felt a little bit scattered and fast. Well, it's because my real story lies on everything that happened underneath. My parents did not attend my fifth grade graduation because they still were learning about the school system. They spoke almost no English, and they would have me help them with their work and social as a translator. Their work schedules demanded so much from them that it was a blessing being able to have a few hours together at home. My mom at one point worked 4 jobs and my dad 2. I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with 8 people. We drove around knowing that if we were stopped with, we either would get a ticket or have our credentials checked, and then that would mean that we would get in trouble. My parents made huge sacrifices to provide for my siblings and I, and they still do, and they always will, because they want us to know that despite obstacles, God provides. I was not aware that my immigration status would prevent me from getting a higher level education until 7th grade, when my mom had the tough job of telling me that I was undocumented after coming home telling her about the AVID program. My mom kept hope for me, and we prayed that something would change, and it did. Right on time, DACA was passed in 2012, almost 3 years before I graduated from high school. But there was still one important issue. I had no money to pay for school. So even in 12th grade, I was not sure if all the work I had done would pay off in the end, but it did. I was able to win a scholarship that allowed me to come to EMU. In my life, I have constantly seen God's work at hand. He has never left me and has always carried me through all challenges. I learned that if I have God, family, good friends, and an education, then no matter what became of me, my life would be a happy one. Many of those truly good friends are here today, and I thank you for standing with me and having my back. My story is just one out of the 799,999 individuals right now who are facing the risk of getting deported after DACA was ended September 5th, 2017. I am a face. I am real. I am standing in front of you. DACA is not just a paper that is given to people. DACA stands for the lives that hold those work permits. DACA holds family history, culture, and faith of all the documented. Know that there is power in standing together and wanting to see change happen. We all have a voice, and we all can stand in solidarity with those who are oppressed, discriminated, and mistreated. You have courage. Allow God to be your strength, and allow your spirit to be moved to help work towards a better tomorrow. You can make a difference. You have made a difference in my life by hearing a little bit of my story today. Together we stand. My name is Katie Lopez Godoy, and I am a face of DACA.
Your love and support is noted. Katie does call for action, solidarity and action. And the action most meaningful for her as we were planning this chapel is to invite us to move into three locations on campus for prayer. Prayer first, prayer supporting our social justice and our activism. Although it's not really first, because a lot of actions already happened, like last night's coffee house and other things. We're inviting you to move on out and move either to outside of the Jamar classroom, that's on the east side of the library, lower level, toward the Science Center. That place, Marcy Frederick. Marcy, stand if you would. I know you're here, over here. Marcy will be hosting the prayer time there, focusing on justice, seeking justice. You could move to the campus center, right outside the campus center, not in the building, but outside, and I'll be hosting a time of praying for administration, EMU administration, and other administration and political leaders, and how they position themselves with this dynamic. Or move to the University Commons right outside the Student Life Suite with Lana Miller, and Lana's here too, and pray for support and those who are offering support for documented immigrant and refugee people. And it could be that you're moving to one of those spots because you're passionate about that particular emphasis. And it could be that your next class is simply nearby, and either way is okay. If you don't come and pray, that's fine as well. But we encourage that, and we'll invite you to go into one of those three places now. And thank you so much, Katie and Alicia.